It's time to hear from the Green Party with co-leader James Shaw.
Indeed, this morning I was graced by the presence of James Shaw, and we spoke about the clean energy plan as discussed, announced over the course of the weekend. It kind of goes alongside a few of the other announcements, including the poverty action plan and the wealth taxes announced earlier this year. I started by asking Green Party co-leader James Shaw to give us a brief overview of what the clean energy plan is and why the clean energy plan is.
The whole idea behind the clean energy plan is to both expand the amount of electricity that we generate as a country from renewable sources and to reduce New Zealand's greenhouse gas emissions by about 40% from electricity generation and from industrial heat over the next 10 years. So it's part of our overall plan to reduce the amount of pollution we're putting up into the atmosphere. Key parts of the plan are a nationwide infrastructure project to put rooftop solar and batteries into as many homes as possible. We would start by putting rooftop solar and batteries into every state house for where it's suitable. So some houses obviously it's not actually suitable for, but there's about 63,000 state homes in the country at the moment. So we want to solarise as many of those as possible. And the other thing that we're going to do is to cut the price of installing solar and batteries at home in half for anyone who wants it. So what that'll do is it'll significantly expand the amount of electricity that we generate from solar as a country, and that'll help to prepare the way for our switch to electric vehicles over the coming decade as well. The other half of the plan is really directed at industry. So for example, we know that the second largest contributor to climate change after transport is emissions from companies that are using coal and gas for heat, like milk drying, curing meat, all sorts of things like that. And all of that is easily substitutable for either electricity or wood chip or biomass. And so we'd be tripling the amount that we currently support businesses with from $33 million a year to $100 million a year to help to make that switch to renewables. So those are the kind of main components. There's kind of other bits too, but those are the kind of the main components of the plan.
So you mentioned there that there's a plan to upgrade all of the suitable 63,000 or potentially less social and community homes with solar panels and batteries. Why is it of particular importance for Green and perhaps for yourself to start with those social and community homes?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. One of which is that, you know, as has been well documented, the Green Party believes that the issues of climate change and inequality are inextricably linked to each other. So it's very hard to get people to care about climate change and reducing their environmental impact if they're having to make impossible choices like putting food on the table or heating their homes. And so what we would be doing in upgrading these houses to solar and battery is actually reducing their energy bills by about $1,000 a year on average, right? And so that'll make a significant difference for some of the lowest income families in the country in terms of their power bills. But what it also allows us to do is, if you've got tens of thousands of state homes that form part of a distributed energy grid, is it enables us to kind of knit that electricity together, to aggregate it into what we call a virtual power plant, which means that, you know, in addition to being able to supplement the power used in each of those houses, it also forms part of the backup to the national grid. So if there are sort of short-term moments when you've got peak demand, you can draw a little bit of electricity out of everybody's battery at that peak demand time, but then you can put it back into the battery at, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning when demand in the rest of the country is low. And that helps to manage demand on the grid sort of day by day. And it also economically helps those households with their power bills.
Another kind of feature, at least that's listed within the clean energy plan, is kind of simplifying the planning rules, perhaps to make it easier to construct wind turbines or transition into these more cleaner sources of energy. You made an announcement as well a couple of months ago around investment in housing and looking at insulation. How much potential do you see to change perhaps both building code and planning code around your plan in the future to create this cleaner future?
Well, so my view is that you have to pull every lever, right? So, you know, one of the things that we've done in government is we've started to upgrade new building housing standards. And when it comes to state homes, for example, we've said that every new state home built has to be built to a Home Star rating of 6 or above, as a bare minimum, if you like. And we would like to extend that out to the broader building code so that, you know, basically every new house that gets built is built to a really high standard of insulation, warmth and dryness. But of course, there are 2.7 million houses pre-existing in the country, many of which are very substandard. I think about 1.1 million of which thermally underperform and something like 600,000 severely underperform. Now, you know, over the last 10 years, the Greens have had a lot of success in opposition in working with successive governments on the home insulation program. But that does need to be extended to include things like double glazed windows, proper ventilation, heat pumps, and so on. It's not just a matter of insulation. So we've got a long way to go in this country, and I think it's going to be a generational shift to actually upgrade our existing housing stock, because, you know, just sadly, as a function of history, historically we built to pretty low standards when it came to that kind of thing.
And speaking of transitions, I guess a common opposition to this transition to clean energy is the fact that it perhaps won't be a just transition. Now, Green have promised to introduce grants and loans for homes and businesses to help with this transition. Will there also be a theoretical or an educational support within this to help industries, especially those where it's difficult, perhaps like the steel industry, to transition, to help change behaviours and attitudes?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, the Green Party has actually championed the concept of just transitions. We know that, in fact, when workers are displaced, for example, from coal mines and so on, historically, you know, governments have actually done very little about that. They have not put in place plans in advance of those kinds of closures, and that has meant historically that people have been dumped into the unemployment queues and so on. What we actually want to do is to work with industry, local authorities, unions and so on to provide pathways for people into new jobs where they are using similar skills to the ones that they have previously used and get at least the same pay or even better. So, for example, in this last term of government, we had a just transitions plan for Taranaki, as we said, well, look, we're not going to be allowing new offshore oil and gas exploration. We know that there will be a point, probably in about 10 years, 15 years or so, where fossil gas really starts to wind down. But we know that there's a big future for hydrogen and biofuels and biogas. So let's use the skills that are already there in Taranaki and the technology that already exists and retask it for that renewable energy future. And we want to do the same here. So one of the features of the plan that we launched yesterday is an industry training plan for the clean energy industry, and particularly focused on how do we get people to train up so that they are able to do those installations of solar and battery. Because at the moment, you know, if you said you wanted to solarize 60,000 houses, you couldn't do it because we just don't have the workforce for it. But we do have a period where we are experiencing high unemployment because of COVID-19. Now is the perfect time for us to support people to sit down with industry bodies, you know, like I said, local authorities, training providers, unions and so on, and to say, okay, so given that we've got this group of people here who have been displaced because of the pandemic, how many of them can we entice into the clean energy industry? What training do they need to support them? How do we get them earning as fast as possible?
Got one last question for you this morning. This release of the Clean Energy Plan, as noted already, goes hand in hand, I would say, with a few other announcements that Green has already made, including the investment in housing, and obviously has deep ties in social equity. How important is it for Green to make sure that all of their policies work together almost like a network, as opposed to being separate policies that don't correspond to each other?
Well, it's very important to us. I mean, the difficulty that we've always had with political communication is, you know, in the kind of media landscape and social media, you have to break things down into kind of snack-sized chunks so that you can communicate them and that are easy for people to kind of grasp. But I think people are starting to see the connections between, for example, the Poverty Action Plan that we released a couple of weekends ago, with yesterday's clean energy plan, that they start to kind of bring together those issues to do with climate change, protecting nature and a fair society together into a single whole. And I think and I hope that over the next few weeks of the campaign, as we roll out more of these policy packages, that you'll see that there is a coherent picture there, which if we have enough members of parliament to be able to implement it all, and that's really the, you know, the key thing, then it'll be pretty transformational for the country as a whole.
That was James Shaw for the Green Party. The Wire.
It wasn't.